I'm here today with Ramin Asghar, director of Voice of America's Persian News Network and the highest-ranking Iranian-American career foreign service officer with the U.S. Department of State. Now, what is the current state of media and journalism within Iran?
Thanks very much. Right now, journalism and media is directed not on finding a kind of a marketplace for exchange of ideas. It's a very closed-down enterprise inside Iran with a very limited scope of actual discussion. So it's a bit of a wasteland, quite frankly.
And how does the Persian News Network provide news to people in a country whose government is constantly trying to prevent and block not only news media, but pure freedom of information?
Well, it's a big challenge. I mean, that's an excellent question. We try to provide an objective and reliable range of programming, news and other programming that people find both engaging and credible. We hope that the programming is good enough that people will go to the extra trouble of getting around all the different barriers that the government puts in the way to find out what's going on in the outside world and listen to us.
You recently spoke of a new cyber censorship law that's going into effect in Iran within the next year or so. And what do you think the reaction will be to that law once it's enforced?
Well, the specific measure that they're taking is that they're interested in shutting down the access of Iranians to the World Wide Web. And they want to establish a intranet, the kind that businesses have and universities have, that only is accessible by people inside those institutions, which means that they'll have no link to the outside world. That intranet would actually be a lot faster and a lot more, you know, feature-packed than the World Wide Web as it's able to be accessed in Iran. I think the effect will be that people from Iran will be in a bubble and will, in that kind of situation, anytime that happens to a society, sooner or later, the society starts to stagnate. It's like taking a plant out of the light. It might be, you know, able to resist for a while, but sooner or later, it's going to head downhill and eventually collapse.
Do you think there's any kind of policy that could be implemented to combat this kind of censorship?
Well, I think what it is that we owe it to both our mission at Voice of America, which is funded by the American taxpayer, to communicate with the outside world. And we just keep doing that and doing it better and better. We work to help the people inside the country overcome this barrier, this electronic curtain that the Iranian government has built around them. Some of it is technology, some of it involves talking to other people who believe in freedom of communication, and some of it, deep down, is there are wiser heads in Iran that might decide that sealing off their people from the rest of the world in the long run is not a very good policy, giving them possibly the avenues to be able to let the people communicate with the outside world.
What is the future of Voice of America's Persian News Network within Iran?
Well, we're going to continue to increase the quality and the scope of our programming. We have some extremely successful programs that are very, very widely followed in Iran. We're going to try to build on that, have even more programs that people enjoy, because what we need to do is make sure that our programs combine news and are still engaging and not dry, not repetitive. We want people to want to tune into us. And that's a lot harder to do, but it's the way you have to do it to be able to gain market share in a fairly competitive market of Iran, from the standpoint that the government spends a lot of money on programming. Other outside broadcasters who are entertainment-oriented spend a lot of money on broadcasting in Iran. So to make news and programming that's related to kind of non-entertainment engaging enough for people to, you know, watch it, it has to be done at a high level of quality, and it has to be done by people who really take their profession seriously. So we're working towards both those goals.
And do you think that has an impact on the portrayal of Western culture and Western ideologies within Iran?
Yeah, absolutely. I think people inside Iran don't have a realistic picture of what Americans are like. I'm not talking about American policy, and I'm not talking about people inside the Washington Beltway. I'm talking about people all over the United States that have many different stories, are not in any way like the portrayals of Americans that the Iranian government has been feeding its population for the last 32 years. You know, I am extremely extremely proud of this country and being an American. And I think that rather than bang them on the head with democracy lectures and kind of why things are so wonderful over here and things are so terrible over there, let them see Americans in all walks of life getting through their day and how important it is to take a kind of a non-idealized or non-demonized view of the real American people.
And what's your hope, not just for the future of Iran, but for the future of journalism and media, internet, news coverage, all that sort of thing?
Well, I'm hoping that eventually the idea with both online media and the television and radio broadcasting is that way back, and I mentioned this in my address, the Voice of America had a motto, which was tell the truth and let the world decide. I think in general, a bunch of folks sitting in, you know, smoke-filled rooms, well, rooms aren't that smoke-filled anymore these days, but rooms, and coming up with clever strategic communication packaging is all well and good. But really, when it comes down to it, as someone I greatly respect and I worked for in the past, General David Petraeus said, we should be first with the truth. And that's a good approach to journalism in general, is that both be efficient, accurate, and do it first. Get your story out, but don't lie. Don't shade. Don't misrepresent, because people are smart out there and they'll figure that out. Americans have a lot to be proud of. And journalists perform an incredibly important service inside this, in American society, that is about serving the people and letting them know the truth. That kind of message and that kind of approach really is a universal value that should be throughout the world. And I believe that that aspect we've gotten right. I mean, it's our First Amendment. It's not our Eighth Amendment. It's not our 20th Amendment. It's our First Amendment, freedom of the press. And that kind of value, again, is a universal value that has merit wherever it might be. So I think the expression of that in America but beyond America is something that will really help both the cause of people having access to information about their world, but also being able to be linked to each other and share perspectives. That's actually one of the most salutary benefits that we can have of modern media. So journalism takes its original credo that was begun during the print days of Edward R. Murrow and takes it forward into the, you know, digital age. That's something that we hope will extend into some of these last remaining closed societies until they finally open up and really become part of world culture again.
And just one last question. If you could say anything to all those people whose freedoms are being censored out there, whether they're journalists or in media, what would you say to them?
Well, I would just say that, you know, there are a lot of people that understand that in the long run, that type of activity of shutting down your mind is a fundamental violation of your rights as a human being. And there are people who care about this, and there are people who want to raise awareness that this is happening. And my message to them is that, you know, all of those people who fought that struggle in the Soviet Union and in the Eastern Bloc through all those years didn't have a lot of promising things going on, but eventually they prevailed, and those countries are not perfect, but they're free. And they can make their own mistakes, they can have their own successes. I would say that they should just continue. You know, I fully understand it's easy to sit here and say, continue the struggle when they're bearing all the risk and they're bearing all the danger. But it's not that people outside don't appreciate how much of a sacrifice it is to continue to, you know, exercise your conscience and fight for truth and commit yourself to risking everything just so that you can communicate with the outside world. So people outside those societies support that and have done a lot and will do much more to allow those people to be linked in. Because again, linking into human society worldwide is something that both the university environment is a fundamental advocate of, and journalism is a fundamental advocate of. If Iran or any of these societies believe that their ideology is so powerful that people should believe in it, well, heck, put it up for debate. Put it up in front of people and let them decide. But if you need to shut down people's minds to be able to run your country, then your ideology must not be that powerful.
Dr. Asghar, thank you so much for joining us today at Annenberg Radio News, and I hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you very much.